Home is more important today than it's ever been. So if you're looking for the right place or trying to take advantage of those low interest rates with a refi, you should know that there's a nationally recognized mortgage originator right here in the Triad. Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation has been included in the top 200 loan originators in the country for 8 consecutive years. Providing personal service with experience, speed, and satisfaction is her number one priority. Trust Ashley to provide you with everything you need for a simple, rewarding home loan experience. And as a sponsor of the Triad Podcast Network, if you text or call Ashley at 336-575-9448 for your mortgage quote today, just mention the podcast, and upon receiving your quote, we'll send you a $25 local business gift card. 336-575-9448 to reach Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation. Ashley McKenzie Sharp, NMLS ID number 100776, is a licensed mortgage originator in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS ID number 2289, is an equal housing lender.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.
Welcome back to At the Table with Triad Foodies. I'm Christy Meyer, and you can find my blog at triadfoodies.com and Instagram at Triad Foodies, and Facebook at Triad Foodies. Connect with us there. And we are so happy to be back on the Triad Podcast Network with At the Table with Triad Foodies. We are back again at Meridian Restaurant. Not really at Meridian Restaurant, because we are Zooming it with Chef Mark Grohman. And it's been quite a while since we've had a podcast in the first place, and since I've even laid eyes on Chef Mark. Meridian Restaurant in Winston-Salem is at 411 Marshall Street downtown.
South Marshall.
South Marshall, just so you're going the right direction.
Apparently it's North Marshall. Don't go there.
And what's funny is, even though we're back at the table here for a podcast, and it's been well over a year since we've had a podcast because of everything, but Chef Mark was our very first podcast when we launched At the Table with Triad Foodies. So I don't know if we want to call it full circle after what we've all been through the past year, but it's so great to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Good to see you again.
Me too. And so we've got a lot to talk about, some things to unpack, I guess, because, you know, a lot's happened. But what we really wanted to tell you is we are having another Chef's Table event with Chef Mark at Meridian on June 15th. That thing is already sold out. It sold out in, I don't know, maybe 12 hours or something like that, maybe less, maybe more like six. I went to bed and there was one ticket left, and when I woke up, it was sold out. So we hope to have another announcement soon for hopefully a July event, but it will be our first Chef's Table since the whole pandemic happened. I don't need to even tell y'all, you know, give you a brief recap of the past year, because you've all lived it with us, and we shut everything down. We were unable to gather in large groups of 10, was social distancing for a while. Our last Chef's Table was on March 16th, 2020, just 4 days before everything just like went kaput. And that was at Sophie's Cork and Ale, and it was great fun. But now here we are, basically still social distancing over here on Zoom and in our restaurants as well, Mark. And but we're not scared enough now not to have Chef's Table. And so we're so excited to be joining you in exactly a month from tomorrow.
Yep. It's going to be a good time. It always is. It's going to be good to get the community back together and see people enjoying themselves in a larger group. And, you know, sharing stories over some good food.
I agree. And, you know, our Chef's Table events are pretty fun anyway, because they get to be a little bit like a chef's table, a supper club. And a lot of the same folks we see over and over again. And of course, we get some newbies and then some fans of the restaurant. And in a lot of ways, we establish Chef's Table to highlight restaurants that maybe people don't know a lot about, or chefs that, you know, need to be introduced to the folks and make it kind of like an affordable wine dinner. But I felt like coming back, we needed, you know, somebody from the old guard, if you will.
Yeah.
Who I know could just, you know, who's not scared and can really bring it and, you know, with a hyper focus on local products. And you were the best choice, in my opinion. So we're super excited. As we said, you know, Mark was our first podcast back in whenever it was. I'm not even going to try to date it. You can go back and find it here in our episodes, because it'll be episode one. And so I would encourage you to go back and listen to that if you want a little bit of a brief history. And we're going to touch on that, Mark, if you don't mind, about how you got into chefing and how long Meridian has been in business. But then I also want to talk about, you know, how you are overcoming this past year. So let's start with Meridian and the history of Meridian and how you are where you are a little bit.
All right. Well, this is my 31st year cooking professionally. It doesn't really feel like that, honestly. I mean, I still love it every day, getting to come in and play with food, and make people happy out in the dining room, and still create. And, you know, I mean, I'm not reinventing the wheel. I'm just kind of elevating old school cuisine. You know, it's no real rhyme or reason to it. I stick to the Mediterranean because I love those flavors. I love that style of cuisine. It just came a point in my career where I was sick of working for other people. My first life, I was studying to be a pilot and achieved that goal. I'm a commercial rated pilot. I was a month away from going to the Com Air Academy down in Florida to start flying for Delta and their regional jets, and 9/11 happened. And I think literally 3 days after that happened, I made the firm decision to follow this path in kitchens. I cooked in college for beer money and rent, liked it. The schedule worked well for me. So I decided that, you know, I was going to take it a little more serious and follow that path, and knew I didn't want to work for somebody the rest of my life, and was fortunate enough to pull everything together and build Meridian in 2007.
Awesome. And even, do you ever fly anymore? I meant to ask you that the last time.
No, I don't have the time, honestly. I mean, I'm working 15 hour days these days, 6 days a week, 2-3 stations a day, you know, just trying to hold it together until people want to come back to work.
Did you feel, we'll go back to that time in 2001, did you feel that, even though you're flying, right, this is what you think you're going to do, did you feel that pull to cook and like, maybe this doesn't work out, I'd rather, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, my first real chef I worked for, let's say, he was awesome. He was a master chef, Chef's Hall of Fame up in New York. He's the one that taught me classic French technique. He always told me that, you know, I was good at this, and if I wanted to, I can make a career out of it and a decent living. And I was like, yeah, whatever, chef, you know, I'm going to fly planes. I'm out of here in like a year, you know? I mean, I'm going to help you out, do my thing with you. You can teach me everything, you know, I appreciate that, but I'm gone, you know, I'm flying. And then when that happened, I mean, it was a no-brainer. He had passed away and I had taken over the kitchen. So when all that went down, I mean, it was a quick, easy decision for me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take it serious and I'll be the best I can be at it. And let's see what happens. You know, since then, I've learned so much more. I still learn every day. It's still a passion. I still get excited about coming to work and doing my thing, you know. And now it's my turn to teach new chefs and elevate their abilities and show them new things. And, you know, it's very, very rewarding still.
That's awesome. I hope that I'm glad that you still feel that way, you know, And 6 years later, you know, you got to open up your dream restaurant. Yep. And tell us a little bit about if folks have not had the fortune to dine with you, should they expect when they walk in the doors of Meridian?
So we're a upscale restaurant, I guess, for this area. We have tablecloths. but in a more casual atmosphere, we do fine dining food and service without the pretentious feel to it. You know, I want people to come in, sit back, relax, and actually take in the experience. People are such in a rush these days. You take time out for yourself and your family and your friends. Come in, relax. If you need us to sway you in any direction regarding the menu, we can do that. My staff is fully versed on everything from wine to the food, where it comes from, how it's prepared, the whole nine. And, you know, I mean, our cuisine is focused on the Mediterranean, specifically Southern French, Northern Italian, tapas at the bar, like real tapas, bar snacks. Everything's made in-house from pasta to mozzarella cheese to our sausages. If we can make it better than I can buy it, I'm going to make it. And it just so happens that I'm pretty good at making things that taste good. So.
I agree. And I love the look of Meridian, the open concept where you can see all the action in, yep, in the kitchen. You can see, you know, the Brookstown area that's so pretty, you know, outside you see, you know, the sun as it's gleaming through the windows, big windows. I just love the whole atmosphere.
Yeah, it's nice and open. And we've become a place to see and be seen, I guess, for that reason. It is open, very clean lines. There's not a lot of stuff sitting around on the tables. It's just clean.
Mm-hmm. So what are you cooking these days that you're excited about?
Everything. I mean, it's the way business is going these days. It's everything's across the board. Last month I brought the antelope back. That's been going really well.
Love it.
A lot of really, really good fish coming off the North Carolina coast. We got some really, really nice black grouper in the other day. That's going seared with our shrimp and Anson Mill grits, house made on Dewey sausage, blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, we're just keeping it going. It's, you know, everything is very fluid here. So just depending on, you know, what the farmers are pulling out of the ground, that'll get injected into the menu somewhere. I've got one of my farmers should be by soon with some baby leeks and bunch of other stuff, so it's good to see them up and, you know, actually have restaurants that can support them and they can, mm-hmm, sell to again.
When they walk through the door, is that when you get some inspiration, or do you kind of know what's coming and you're thinking about it when you're supposed to be sleeping?
Yeah, I mean, that's funny. I used to keep a notepad next to the bed. Mm-hmm. I'd wake up and be like, oh, I should do that with that, but, you know, that can wait. I have to separate work from home now, so I leave it here. But typically they'll all send a text with the list of stuff, and I'll just pick what I want. And, you know, that fits into our cuisine. And then once it's here, kind of figure out what I'm going to do with it.
That's awesome. I wish I ponder and ponder when I'm trying to cook. So,
yeah, I mean,
make lists.
You know, eventually it becomes easier and easier.
Yeah.
Not that you're doing the same thing, but those flavor profiles, you really get to understand and know what works well with each other. And, you know, maybe instead of putting something in a pasta, you'll put it in a risotto or, you know, make a tart or something. Eventually it's just going to click and you'll be able to go to your fridge or a pantry and go, all right, I'm going to do that, and that with that.
All right, if you're enjoying this podcast, then I hope you'll take just a quick second to hear about the folks that make it all possible. And that's the Ginther Group, a Triad real estate team with a vast local knowledge. Don't believe me? Hear it for yourself by listening to their real estate show right here on the Triad Podcast Network. I'm not even in the market, and I don't know what I'd do without an ally like Blake Ginther and the Ginther Group. They've helped me find a plumber, a roofer, and even helped my family save hundreds each month when we refinanced our home. Now imagine how they can help if you are in the market. They can help you get started with an evaluation to list and market your home. So if you're thinking of buying or selling in the Triad, call the Ginther Group at 336-283-8689 or find them online at theginthergroup.com. Now back to the show.
Okay, so let's talk about March 2020.
All right.
Okay, do we need to get our tissues out?
No, I'm over it.
We can talk about how, I mean, because I think that you, if anybody had followed you on Instagram or social media or whatever, you know, it's, you're one of the first places to open back up, it seems like anyway. So over a little year ago, you know, we had our bottom drop out. At first, all we hear from restaurants is, your safety is very important to us. You know, we're going to be clean and clean and clean, in which we hope that restaurants are doing anyway all the time. Sure, our safety is important. It should have always been. So we just assume that everything was just top up. Spick and span, right? Yeah. So what did y'all do at first when the governor ordered closures of all the restaurants? Takeout, basically, which is not what you're known for.
I think I knew it was coming, but didn't know it was going to happen abruptly like that.
Mm-hmm.
That day, I mean, and business was cranking back then. I mean, we were on pace for a record year. I had so many weddings booked, rehearsal dinners.
Yeah, forget about weddings.
All over the, it was, we, everybody was extremely excited about the year to come. And that day, my cooks got in at 3:00 and, I pretty much said, all right, punch in. We got to shut this place down. And we pulled everything off the line. I gave away as much produce as I possibly could. You know, I mean, we work very fresh here. I've got one little two-door freezer with some sorbet and stuff in it. It's, so we, and you know, it was only supposed to be 2 weeks, but I knew better. It was, you know, the way that everything was handled and how quick everything was shut down, I knew it wasn't going to be 2 weeks. And then obviously seeing stuff over in Europe, how crazy it was, Italy and France, it's just, I just let everybody go through the walk-in, have some food because, you know, who the hell knows when we're going to open and you're going to get paid again. So take some groceries. I'll let you know when I hear of anything, you know. So we packed everything up, cleaned everything really good, even drew the shades on the restaurant, hung up the note, closed due to COVID. It was a sad day. I mean, a lot of uncertainty. And like I said, I knew it wasn't going to be for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect it to be that long. But yeah, it was horrible. I mean, we literally, me and my entire crew, after we got everything cleaned up and shut down, I mean, I unplugged everything that I could, you know, all the make tables, unless it was refrigeration that I needed, it was unplugged. I even unplugged the ice machine, you know. We literally sat around the bar pondering what the hell was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nobody had any answers. So we had our time, and, you know, I just told everybody immediately file for unemployment because this is not going to be a 2 week thing. I just felt it in my bones. I told them, you know, whenever I hear something, I'll be in touch. And, you know, we departed, and few calls here and there just to check on everybody, make sure they were doing good, make sure they had groceries in their homes. I think the mental aspect was a lot of it too for everyone. You know, as chefs, we're in the kitchen all the time doing our thing, having fun, you know, and when you're not allowed to do that, it's definitely, there's something missing from your soul. You know, cooking at home is a totally different thing. It's just not that same rush you get cranking out 100 people a night, and, you know, seeing everybody happy out there, people coming up to the line, thanking you, and like, you know, asking questions and all that. It's there's definitely something missing. So kept in touch with everybody and, you know, made sure everybody was all right and just wrote it out, you know, it's all we could do at that point.
That is so just something that I haven't heard many business owners or people who are in the culinary world, and maybe it's because I've just haven't been able to ask them to talk about that missing component, just spiritually speaking, you know, like what's soulfully happening in the kitchen with your comrades, you know, and you don't have that anymore, and you don't know when you're going to get it back. So I find that like very commendable and touching, actually, that you talked about, you know, reaching back out to them. And then that other thing is missing, because I think a lot of people think that people who didn't work were just happy not to work.
Oh, it killed
all
of them.
I think that people who are in a kitchen like that, who have that camaraderie, they were missing, you know, that aspect of their life. I mean, anybody can sit around and draw an unemployment check and sit on their butt, but you could also really very much be missing that interaction.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that was the major part, you know. It is that socialization and that teamwork. I mean, we're in the trenches every day together. We spend more time together than with our families for the most part. The chefs here, at the very least, they don't do it because they have to do it. They do it because they want to do it. They love this game, you know. It's not just a job. And when that's ripped out from under you, I mean, it's a big part of your life missing. You know, checks are great. That's awesome, you know. Sit around, do nothing, but it drives you absolutely crazy. You know, there's only so much yard work you can do. There's only so many rooms you can paint, you know, and that's not your passion. You know, you have to be in there with everybody, formulating new ideas, helping each other out, creating, you know, I think that's the biggest piece that was missing, is the creativity, you know, just sitting at home. Yeah, it's just everybody in my kitchen, when we got back together, you know, it was like a big family reunion, and everybody said I was going absolutely crazy at home, you know. So like, well, hugs, kisses, let's get back to it. We got a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah. So yeah. Let's talk about that then, because I guess, you know, 6-8 weeks later, something like that, some folks were open and doing takeout, and some people were able to open up at extremely limited capacity. I guess, what were we at? 25-50% or something like that. So how was that reopening and getting up and going again?
So we were all eager to do it. I don't think any of my guys at the time had ever opened a restaurant and didn't really know how much stuff there is to do, because honestly, this is like opening up a new restaurant.
Right.
You have no product in house, you know. All your kegs are spent because they're outdated. All your beer bottles are probably outdated. You know, the wine was under, you know, we have a wine room that's climate controlled, so that was fine. But the produce, which we're super heavy on, you know, all the proteins and stuff like that, you have nothing. So we actually had to spend a week and a half receiving orders, prepping, getting everything back together. Mm. You know, recleaning a restaurant that's been dormant for 8 weeks, 10 weeks, you know, it's a lot. So, you know, it took us a week to get everything squared away to where I felt comfortable enough to be able to open to the public, however many people wanted to come out, and feel comfortable that we can still give them the quality that they need and deserve and come here for.
Yeah. And then hoping they're they'll come because they've been scared half to death to even go out to a restaurant.
I was extremely pleased with the amount of people that came out. Everybody was very, very cautious. You know, and going back to the cleaning thing with restaurants, we're upheld to higher standards of cleanliness and sanitization anyway. I mean, we're inspected every 3 months. So that was never an issue for me. We keep it clean in here, always. Mm-hmm. You know, we clean, we sanitize, we polish our silverware with sanitizer, glassware as well. That was never an issue. The only thing I did was seat every other table because it was the mandate. And I put a hands-free sanitizer dispenser on our host stand for people when they came in. That was the only thing I did different. Obviously, the mask thing. People were very cautious coming in, but I think once they saw how we had everything set up, they were really comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good. It was really good. Started out strong, you know. We only had a couple people that freaked out, but, you know, it had nothing to do with us. It was just them, you know. One guy brought his own glass, his own silverware, and, you know, it was like, and he was a regular too. So I don't know what he was thinking. A little overboard, but everything was good when we reopened. I mean, it was nice to see a lot of support. You know, typically our food doesn't transition outside the doors. It's meant to be eaten here now. But we started doing a lot more takeout. A lot of people weekly, but, you know, sometimes a few times a week would either come in or get takeout just to try to support. It was a really, really good feeling. You know, it's that you feel the community behind you trying to support as much as they can. Mm-hmm. So it was really good. And it, you know, that lasted through October, honestly. And then November, it just shut down for some reason. And I got a little nervous for a day or two. And I was like, you know what? It's November. It happens. Everybody's getting ready for Thanksgiving, whatever they may do or be able to do if they're traveling, mm-hmm. whatever. So that I just had to step back and realize that we're still on our normal schedule, even though all this stuff is going on.
Mm-hmm.
People are still going to travel. They're still going to have Thanksgiving dinner at their home. So relax, it's coming back.
Relax. Were y'all able to take advantage? I know a lot of local companies were like, we're not getting the supplement that, you know, should be due to us because the airlines are getting it.
Yeah.
And big corporations. So were you able to benefit from that a little bit?
I did the PPP loan. Okay. But I couldn't get any answers from corporate and business lawyer, my accountant, my bank refused to put anything in writing. So I was in on the very first round of that. I actually got notification that the funds were in my account. And then an hour later got a notification saying the funds were exhausted. Yeah. So it happened that quick. And then I was still, you know, with all these silly little applications they had, which were from different time frames and sometimes a mash between all of it, I decided to give it back. I didn't want to be on the hook for, you know, whatever interest they wanted at the end of the term, whenever that was going to be, because nobody knew. I just decided that I wasn't going to do it. There's people out there that needed it more than me. You know, when you hear like people like Thomas Keller getting $10 million from this thing for French Laundry and Per Se, meanwhile, this guy's renovating, you know, $1 million renovation on his kitchen every single year. I just decided to give it up, told the bank to get it out, give it to somebody else that needs it more, and I'll just ride it out.
Mm.
So, and then, you know, being open this long and having a good relationship with your purveyors too helped out immensely. They're very understanding. They understand the situation, and, You just have to communicate with them and put those bills off for a little longer. And so help there really, really, you know, made that decision for me.
So even with capacity restrictions now, we're feeling like we're climbing out of it.
Oh, no. I mean, weekends we're packed. I mean, it is Friday and Saturdays. We are full capacity. We're still distancing tables.
Gotcha. That's fine.
Yeah. But we can still, I mean, we could still do 75, 76 seats, you know? So I could pay bills doing that. You know, we're not a turn and burn place anyway. No, we take care of the food and the customer. We don't want to take care of our bank accounts first, you know? That'll come all in time. All I have to do is pay bills and keep people happy. This is a marathon, not a sprint.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Especially in this business.
Yeah.
So you have, so you've got your private parties happening too. I mean, like it's starting to.
Yeah, there's coming back. We've done multiple rehearsal dinners. We've got more booked in the November now. Pharmaceutical.
You got your company. November back.
Yeah, I mean it feels good. It's people are a lot more relaxed now, especially with the vaccinations and everything. They're ready to get back to life and get out and, you know, have a nice meal, see their friends, see their family in some cases, you know. I mean, it's crazy. Last rehearsal we did, there was a bunch that came out from California too, and they hadn't seen their family in a couple of years. So it's nice to see that, you know. That's why we build restaurants. It's about family and community and, yeah, you know, bringing people together. Yeah. So it's good. It's a really good feeling. You know, things are getting back there.
Awesome. I love to hear it. I mean, because, you know, and even though I'm not directly affected, you know, I have enough friends in this industry that was like, oh my gosh, you know, and we know personally, you know, people who had to shut their doors because, you know, a coffee shop here or there or a dessert place, you know, and it's like crushing, you know, to just see people that, you know, you visit weekly and now they're just they had to go.
Gone. Yeah. And I don't think we've seen the end of it either. I mean, even after this is all over, this effect is gonna take its toll on more restaurants and shops, you know, down the line, years from now. I mean, it's even though you get these loans, this is a big hole to dig out of, you know. And the interest on those, they said it was 1%. It's not. It's going to keep climbing. I mean, one of my wine purveyors just got nailed with 8% from his bank. And so he told them to take their money back. Here's your check. Get it out of my account. You know, so the effects are going to linger, but, you know, everybody just has to stay strong and, you know, keep grinding. It's the business anyway, you know, nothing's easy.
Right. And I feel like our other part of the trickle down is, you know, employment now. We are trying to hire. I hear you're working multiple stations and longer hours. And I mean, I don't think I've ever been to Meridian. You weren't there anyway. So I know you're there. It kind of makes it more appealing, actually. You know, but, you know, I'm not trying to make you work all the time or anything.
Well, I didn't do this to not cook, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm
on tour a second.
So how has this been now? Because now you're faced with a whole other situation with trying to find workers. I mean, where did all the workers go?
Yeah, they're still on their couch playing video games. I only lost one coming out of this, and that's because they decided they still had COVID, you know. Couldn't supply any paperwork or anything like that, but. You know, and then the money kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And, you know, I mean, it's just a fact that, you know, if you're paid to do nothing, why would you come back to work? You know, you can pay your bills and do that. I mean, I was fortunate to keep everybody but one person. So, but now that things are picking up, I need more staff, you know, to help out with volume. make sure everything's right. And they're just, they're not there. I mean, you could ask around and put things on social media. We're hiring, we're hiring, we're hiring, and nothing. Or you'll get somebody that says, yeah, I need a job. And you interview them and they're all about it. And then you say, all right, you can start on this date. And they just never show up.
I never figure people out. Well, I would like to think this podcast today is like just a great ad for why to work at Meridian, because I'd want to work in your kitchen.
Yeah, I mean, it's, we do real things here, you know. It's very old school in the way we operate. You know, everything's done from the ground up. You know, stock sauces, natural reductions, making everything. It's, you know, it's fun. It's very hands-on. It's, as a chef, that's what you want, I would think. I mean, that's what I wanted. How do you, you could buy pasta, but how do you make it? Yeah. You know, you can buy a sausage, but how do you make it? You know, and to be able to do it, it's really rewarding. I mean, and then to have people like it is even better.
Yeah. You know? And now you're training the new legion of, you know, yeah, all the chefs.
Yeah, it's an art form, you know, and if you don't share the love and teach these guys, and it's going to die, you know. It's, this country has developed this way of life that is all about convenience. And, you know, why would I make it if I can just go buy it? Because if you make it, it's going to be way more gratifying and probably taste way better and a heck of a lot cleaner, you know. It's just the old European way of living. Shop daily, cook daily, and get the best possible product you can get, you know, and don't mess around with it too much. Okay. Let it stand on its own.
That's awesome. We could almost end with that, but I will keep, we'll ask you if you have anything else you want to add today, or, you know, just tell us, you know, now what's next, you know, how are we going forward?
Just, you know,
pushing through.
Yeah, we're just, we're definitely on the backside of this, you know. It's, things are lightening up. The other day with the CDC coming out saying vaccinated people can do whatever they want, pretty much, that's a good sign. Keep supporting, you know, some of the smaller places get forgotten from time to time, but, you know, when you're talking to your spouse, your friends, or whoever, where do you want to go? I mean, look local first. So, I mean, there's people out there still really struggling, you know? I mean, a lot of people still can't open normal hours because they don't have the staff. They don't, you know, I mean, or the money to pay them right now. It's, we're very, very fortunate to have been in this business in this town for so long that we are known. We've built a really good base clientele, very supportive people, loyal people. But, you know, I mean, it's a hard game. It was never easy even before any of this. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, keep the little guy in mind. You know, all the little places tucked out away can be some of the best places you'll ever eat in, or, you know, some of the best people working there. So just keep that in mind. And, you know, next time you want to go to a big box store because it's convenient and, you know, you can get your food in 10 minutes and be out in, you know, 30. That's not what it's about for us little local people. So,
yeah, I agree. Yeah. Well, I'm so happy that y'all emerged victorious.
Yeah. I mean, it's the restaurant business. I don't necessarily know if that term victorious fits, but. You know, we'll
take it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a daily grind, but we love doing what we do. And like I said, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. I plan on being here for at least another 15, 20 years. You know, making people happy, doing what I do, teaching young chefs, you know, and supplying the dining experience. You know, it's, I think success is paying your bills and keeping people happy, you know.
You're definitely doing that.
Yeah, I think we've achieved that goal. So we're definitely going to keep on doing it. And, you know, it's we've got a really good community here. And I think everybody is very supportive as much as they can be. And it's just going to continually get better and better and better. And eventually it's going to be, I think every place that's still open doing good things are just going to be, hopefully by the end of the year, just booming with business. And, you know, we'll get back to the hustle and bustle, and, you know, everything's fine. You know, people just don't freak out, please. Stop putting gas in grocery bags. Look to the future, not right now. It's, you know, someone once told me, stop looking at the poop on the ground and lift your head and look at the nice puffy clouds. It's a better outlook.
Yes, I agree. Well, I'm so glad that we got a chance to chat with one another. We're super excited about next month and our chef's table. And any of these folks who didn't bother with the tickets for that, you're open. How many days a week? Let's just tell them.
We're Tuesday through Sunday, open at 4:30. During the week is hit and miss. I mean, if it's slow, I'm going to close at 8:30 or 9. Weekends, we've been jamming, so we're open. Give us a call if you can, please. People these days are not making reservations, so when we prep daily for the number of people we think we're going to do, we'd like to know the number of people we're going to do thereabouts, so we can make sure we have enough stuff and, you know, enough staff on the floor.
Mm-hmm. And then follow them on Instagram, MeridianWS. Meridian WS, and he's always posting pictures of gorgeous food. So if you need to be tantalized, that's the place to get it done.
Yeah, I've been working so much that I've been kind of slack on that. So I'll try to get more food shots out there, and maybe it'll tempt somebody to come in and see what we're all about.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you, Mark, so much for joining us again. Meridian is at 411. South Marshall Street in Winston-Salem, and you can follow them on Meridian on Instagram, MeridianWS, and I'm Christy. Thanks for joining us at the table.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. Our mission is simple: provide information, advice, and stories about the people and places that make the North Carolina Triad such a great place to be. You can find us by searching Triad Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you like to listen. If you like what you heard and want to support the show and those that contribute, we would truly appreciate a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps spread the word along, as do your shares on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Triad Podcast. To get in touch with us, simply email info@triadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.